is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
Well, we are going to conclude our emotions study tonight. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would be with us this evening as we look at this idea of being grateful and being thankful, Lord. We ask that we would always be willing to extend our thanks to you, Lord, and extend our thanks to others, even in hard circumstances. So we do pray for our time tonight. Help us to dwell on that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There are very few of us that have these really, really large traumatic events that are as difficult as others. We have, for the most part, we as Americans have pretty easy lives. Doesn't mean that we don't go through difficult things. Doesn't mean that we don't go through difficult circumstances. But quite often, we are fairly blessed, wouldn't you say? I would say. Okay. However, it hasn't always been that way. If you think about the early Americans, the Pilgrims, okay? I read this morning that they dug 7 times as many graves as they built huts when they first got here. Think about that. 7 times as many graves as they built huts, which meant people were dying at an exponential rate. Okay, they dug a lot of graves. They lost a lot of friends. They lost a lot of family members. They had much heartbreak. Okay, but what did they give us? We just celebrated it. Thanksgiving. Okay, even in the midst of losing friends and family members, they still set apart a time to give thanks for everything that was given to them. Now, oftentimes we can struggle with the idea of being grateful. Okay, who would consider themselves a really grateful person? None of us are raising our hands. Okay, we're not really good at it. We struggle with it. But even in the midst of death and heartache, these people were like, look, even with all this hard stuff, we still need to be grateful. Still need to be thankful. So that's going to be our emotion tonight. We're going to talk about how we can feel and act out on our gratefulness. So what I want us to see tonight is Jesus gives us every good reason to be grateful in all circumstances. And what I want to do tonight is I want to look at what are some obstacles to our gratefulness. There's lots of things that get in the way of us being grateful towards others. So in order for us to seek a grateful attitude, we need to look at those obstacles so that we can better understand how we can not only feel grateful, but also to act grateful. So let's break up into our groups. Let's start on this side.
1, 2, 3.
All right, y'all ready? Well, let's talk about a few obstacles to our gratefulness here. So we're going to start with group 1. And one of the things that we can do that kind of gets in the way of us having a grateful attitude is us taking things for granted. So if I can get somebody from group 1 to read Luke 17:11-19 for me.
I
can't. You have brain freeze? I can't tell it.
No, I caught John Mark like tossing the ball up. Being
ace
in my first
visit,
I thought he was throwing it.
All right, Luke 17:11-19.
On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now who is a Samaritan? Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well."
Okay, thank you. What did these lepers want Jesus to do?
Heal them.
Okay, wanted them to heal them. Okay, so they've been leprous. Okay, y'all know what leprosy is?
No, sir.
It's not a fun disease. It's very gross. Okay. Essentially, your skin is rotting. Okay? Yeah, so people that were lepers weren't allowed to go into the temples. People that were lepers, they wanted Jesus to heal them. He has the power, and they want that. So I want you to imagine what that would be like if you were a leper and Jesus healed you. You can now go hang out with your friends. You can go into the marketplace. Okay, you can actually go to worship now. Okay, so this is a big deal. When a leper is healed, what are they given? They're given the freedom to live. And Jesus heals them. And what do? They all just kind of They all just kind of scatter, okay?
Bye.
What is Jesus' reaction when only one of them comes back?
Ungrateful swine.
He's a little bit disappointed. Okay. Or what does he tell the one guy? He says, where are they? Where are they? He heals 10, only one comes back. So he's a bit shocked. And it's almost like he's expecting them to come and return. But what does this one guy do? He comes back and he's what?
Grateful.
He is grateful. He's very thankful. And he thanks Jesus and he praises him. And why do you think he did that? Yeah, it was an amazing gift that he'd been given, okay? He didn't just receive that gift and be like, wow, this is awesome, I'm out, okay? No, he said, this is awesome, and I am so thankful, and I want to come back and tell you that. The other nine, what did they communicate by not coming back? We're all communicating no matter what, even if we don't say anything. So these other nine.
That they were ungrateful.
Yeah, that they're ungrateful. Gideon, you want to add to that?
That they took it for granted that he healed.
Yeah.
And didn't see it as something to be more associated.
Yeah, they took it for granted. Okay, do y'all ever take things for granted?
No.
What would be some things that we might take for granted?
Money.
Food.
Money.
Breathing.
Yeah, breathing. How often do you think about breathing?
Breathing.
Not very often.
Right now, all thinking about breathing. All right,
we're all thinking about breathing now. So. What?
Freedom.
Yeah, money. We take our freedom for granted.
Money.
Okay, we take the fact that we are much blessed than other people in the world. Okay.
Education.
So there's a lot of things that we can take for granted. And a lot of things that we can be ungrateful about, just like these nine lepers. And again, remember, these nine lepers were given their life back. Okay? And they just took it and were like, wow, I'm out. Okay, I'm going to go do my own thing now. But this one guy, he's so thankful when he comes back. And he says, Lord, I'm so, so thankful. How can we react similar to those nine lepers today? Because there are times where we're often ungrateful about things. But what are some ways that we can act just like that? Like we're given something amazing and great, and we have just no reaction to it. In regards to Jesus, what are ways that we can take Jesus for granted? Because Jesus gives us what? He gives us life. Okay.
Everything.
He gives us everything. How can we take that for granted?
Like, he gives us something and we're like, oh, and then he's like, now give me this thing.
We can receive something good from Jesus, so we can ask him for more and more and more.
And not even say thank you. You don't even think about it, us like getting it from him.
Okay, yeah.
We get something, we're just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, we can completely disregard that everything that we have is a gift from God. Gideon.
Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?
Taking grace for granted, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, oftentimes we can take the mercy that we have for granted. Okay, and God doesn't want us to do that. All right, so we can take things for granted. We can also let circumstances get in the way of us being grateful. So let's go to group two, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Who would like to read that?
I got you.
Thank you, sir.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Okay, we're going to work through those three parts of that passage. What does it mean to rejoice always?
To always be, like, thankful. Like, to always be looking at, like, the good things in life, like, thank you for those things that we're not trying to focus on the
past. So Paul isn't just saying rejoice every now and then or rejoice often. No, he's saying rejoice always, okay? Even when it's not easy.
Yeah.
He encouraged them to make it a continual lifestyle and a habit to be grateful, okay? So what about praying without ceasing? What does it mean that we're to be praying without ceasing? Does that mean we have to be praying 24/7 all the time, no matter what?
Yes, that's where it gets to a point like where your first response in any, like, hardship, or even in the good things, is just to go to God and be like, thank you for this, or pray to him and go to him.
Okay, yeah. Kitty?
In a sense, yes, we should be praying to him, because it's praying, being in a state of communication with God is really, like, all the time is what we should be in.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's what we're called to do. Okay, so I don't think he's necessarily saying you have to be praying at all times or else you're not a good Christian and you should just be ashamed. No, he's saying, again, make it your go-to habit. When you're struggling with something or even when things are great, we go to God and say, thank you. And when things are hard, Lord, thank you and help me through this hard thing. Help me through this difficulty. You're constantly looking to communicate with God. God doesn't want our communication between him and us to be put to the side and put to rest. He wants us to be always looking towards him. So what does it mean that we're to give thanks in all circumstances?
We kind of already talked about this, but it's easy to give thanks the good times, but in all circumstances, even when things are rough and like you're not at the best right now, still give thanks for don't know anything. Just thanks God for living on it, seeing
it. Yeah, it means our thankfulness does not need to be conditional. Okay, if we start putting conditions on our thankfulness to God, is that a good thing?
No.
It's essentially putting us in the driver's seat and saying, Lord, I'm only going to praise you when things are good. Okay, so if you can just make that happen, that'd be great. No, that's not how life works. Okay, now, it doesn't mean that everything gets easy when we start being thankful either. Okay, we're still going to go through hard things. We're still going to struggle. But he gives us the strength to do what? To make it through those things. He gives us the strength to take the next step. He gives us the strength to make it through that next day. And eventually, things usually get better, and that's good. He's telling us to always look towards God in all things, okay? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. What might be some circumstances that we find it really, really difficult to give thanks in?
When you're in the hospital?
Yeah. When you're in the hospital.
Family members and friends?
Yeah. When you lose somebody.
Or pets.
Mm-hmm. Relational issues, yeah. What else? Maybe there's some financial struggle in families that can cause stress.
What you're doing bad at school.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to look to God in the midst of those things?
Because we're like, how can God do this? That's great.
Yeah, so we can blame God for those bad circumstances. Okay, we can blame Him for not interceding for us. We can blame Him for taking someone away from us. Okay. But those aren't things that we need to blame God for. We need to go to God and take those struggles to Him. Okay? How can we find ways to be grateful when it's hard? Like, what would be some good practices for us to start doing in our lives in order to look towards being grateful in the midst of these things?
Read your Bible daily.
Okay. Scripture is always a good thing.
Pray.
Always rejoice.
Yeah, we can be seeking to always rejoice. We can seek to pray continually. Okay. We can seek to be more thankful in the midst of difficult things. So we can take things for granted. We let circumstances get in the way. Group three, let's look at how we compare ourselves to others. So let's look at Luke 18, 9 to 14.
Ready?
Go for it.
He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
So this Pharisee, he's thankful for something. What is he thankful for?
He's thankful that he's not like the other men.
Yeah, so he's thankful that he's not like this dirty, wretched sinner over here, okay? And is that really thankfulness?
No,
it's pride.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's pride. He's not thankful that the Lord has kept him from all these grievous sins. He's not thankful that the Lord has blessed him and he wants to respond to him. In that, the only thing that he's thankful for is for all the things that he's done by the works of his hands. He's essentially trying to talk God in to making him feel good about himself. Does that ever go well?
No.
No. Why? Because we'll never live up to the picture that we're putting before God. We can always say, well, I went to church this many times this month, or I've read my Bible so much. But is that ever enough?
No.
No. Okay. How does this tax collector show us his thankfulness in his prayer? What does his prayer look like?
Forgive me, I am a sinner.
Yeah, so the attention's taken away from himself, and it's put towards God's mercy. And it's an appeal for mercy. He's eternally grateful for the mercy that God extends to us, and he's asking for that. He's not saying, Lord, I've done this much. Will you please forgive me? No, he's just saying, Lord, I'm awful. I'm wretched. I need you, okay? And I'm thankful for how you give me mercy. How you don't treat me the way that I deserve. He's not justifying his sin in any way, shape, or form. In fact, he's justifying God's punishment for sin in his life and saying, I deserve it, but you give me mercy and grace, and thank you for that. Okay? What are ways that we can be like the Pharisee in that parable? What are ways that we can live with that comparison that shows our unthankfulness for what God has done?
If you're like wealthy, you could be like, oh, at least I'm not poor like them, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah?
You could say, well, if you get in trouble,
well, I mean, I'm not as bad as, like, the kid over there who's, like, getting in trouble.
Yeah. Y'all ever been to school and you saw somebody get in trouble and you're like, yeah. Definitely never done that, okay? Not as bad as that kid. Have you ever had the thought that you're above certain sins? Like, I'd never do that. I would never get involved with that. We can think that we're above certain sins, but if you think about it, we are one bad decision away from doing those things, okay? Just because we believe in Jesus, just because we're believers, doesn't mean that we can't fall into terrible sin. It happens all the time. Anybody can fall into sin. We can't think that we're above certain sins, because when we do that, we're comparing ourselves to others and saying, well, I'm never going to be that bad. And what are we saying by that? We're saying, I'm good, and I don't need the grace. I got this on my own. I'm okay. God wants us to use our prayers as ways to honor Him. And sometimes we can use our prayers, just like this Pharisee, to speak down about others. Okay? And He doesn't want us to do that. Those are just a few of the obstacles that can get in the way of our gratefulness. I want to end with this story, because I think this is pretty helpful. In the 1800s, there were two boats that were on Lake Michigan that collided, and they crashed. And there's a guy who was a seminary student who was on the boat, and he was just waiting in the cold waters, and he was going and helping people get them on pieces of floating wood and trying to get people out of the water. And he did that for hours and hours and hours, and he saved a lot of people. And he ended up getting permanently damaged because of how cold it was. He spent hours and hours of his life saving people's lives. And do you know how many people thanked him for that?
Zero.
Zero. Okay? Nobody said thank you. Think about what Jesus has done for you. How often do we thank Him for that? How often? I'll be honest. I don't thank Him enough. We can all stand to grow in that area. Think about what the Lord has done for us. We need to be more thankful. Sometimes we neglect to be thankful. We all struggle with being grateful. But when someone rescues your life, what is the appropriate response? Thankfulness. Okay. Jesus has done the most ultimate thing for us, and oftentimes we can be ungrateful. Think about the things in your life that you are grateful for. Think about the people that you're grateful for. Think about the people that you're grateful for, but you don't really tell them all that much. Think about your parents and all that they do for you, and the ways that you can show your gratefulness to them. When was the last time you thanked God for what He's done for you? When was the last time you thanked others in your life for what they do for you continually? You know, are there certain circumstances that you just cannot be thankful for? If there's something you're going through where you're just like, nope, there's no way I can be thankful in the midst of this. Okay? And if that's you, then I would encourage you to take that to the Lord and pray about it. Yes?
You can be thankful about it afterward because it may have helped you grow.
That is very true.
Yes.
That is very true. God has given us the most important thing in the world to be thankful for. And that is who? That is Jesus. And when things are going great or whether they're hard, He is always going to be consistent for you. He's always going to be there. He's always going to love you in the midst of those things. And He always wants you to draw close to Him. Find ways to be grateful with your families. Find ways to be grateful with your friends. Find ways to be grateful with your Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us, and then we're done. Gracious Father, we thank You for what You've done for us, Lord. We ask that You would help us to be grateful in all circumstances, Lord, especially with how You have saved us from our sin. Lord, help us to never think ourselves to be okay or think that we have got this under control, Lord, but we need You, and we need to be thankful. So please help that to be a common thing in our life. Help it to be something that we strive for daily. Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit's help to do that. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.